All Things Are Possible, Part 27. Again, our base scriptures, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. That's Mark 10:27. And all things are possible to him that believes. So just to say all things are possible, you know, and even though I titled these messages with that phrase, that's actually an incomplete phrase. It's all things are possible to him that believes, and with God all things are possible. You can't separate God from believing so that all things can be possible. And Jesus said we must not doubt in our heart, but believe in order to get powerful results. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, and we've been looking at the definition of this word doubt, and we saw that inside this definition of doubt is fear and anxiety, just like pride is in there, just like strife and unforgiveness is in there, just like having questions in your heart concerning the promises of God and the will of God. Yeah, as long as you got questions in your heart about this, you're over into doubt. You need to believe God's word and God's promises. We also saw that there's some serious heart issues that need to be corrected, like pride, and that we have to walk in humility, and that we can't be functioning in fear. And I've told you repeatedly that the definition of fear is a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. And Luke chapter 21, let's go back to Luke chapter 21. We need to read this again. Verse 25 and 26 from the Amplified Bible, because Jesus speaks about this. Now, if you didn't hear the definitions, the full definitions from Webster's Dictionary and also from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, then you need to go back and listen to them, because really, Jesus here gives an accurate description of the definition of fear and how the world is functioning today and how the world is living today in this devilish and demonic thing that we call fear, which, by the way, is the exact opposite of faith. You can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. Now, that's impossible. One will cancel the other out. If you're functioning in faith, there'll be no fear. If you're functioning in fear, there'll be no faith. Now, I'll prove that to you from the scripture today, real clear. I'll make it very plain to you from the word, but let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Oh, where are you? Oh, here it is. Okay. And this is from the Amplified Bible. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth there will be distress, trouble, and anguish. And see, that's what people are expecting, the expectation of evil. And frankly, that's what they're getting of the nations in bewilderment and perplexity, without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt. You see the connection between fear and doubt? Not knowing which way to turn. At the roaring, the echo of the tossing of the sea, men swooning away or expiring with fear. One translation says their hearts failing for fear. And dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world. Now, this is the Amplified Bible. For the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. And like I said, this portion of scripture sounds almost identical to the dictionary definition that we've been looking at, because that's the way that the world lives and functions every day. Fear drives them, controls them, and it finally kills us. But like I've told you again and again, 2 Timothy 1:7, that's not us. We're like 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So bless God, if he's not giving it to me, I'm not going to have it. And that word fear is translated in other versions as cowardice, dread, or timidity. And the Amplified says, craven and cringing and fawning fear. That's not what we've been given. What kind of spirit we've been given? Well, Paul goes on to say, the spirit that we've been given is of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Thank God. Glory to God. Amen. And we saw our redemption from fear. But I wanted you to see that fear gets people into the expectation of disaster, terror, lack, poverty, pain, sickness, and finally death. But thank God we've been released from that bondage, Hebrews 2:14 and 15, and Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, and 2 Timothy 1:7. And now we can live free from the fear of all of these things, and we can live in faith instead of fear. Because faith is the opposite. Faith is the expectation of the good. And as a matter of fact, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things that you expect. That's the word hope. Bible hope is expectation of the good things of God. Amen. Why? Well, because faith can only agree with the promises of God and with the Word of God and with what Jesus provided. That's it. It won't believe anything else. It won't accept anything else. Amen. It expects the good. Glory. So faith, one translation says, is the guarantee of the things that we expect or the good things that we expect. Faith is the guarantee of the right kind of expectation. Glory to God. Now, let me show you again from Matthew chapter 14. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. And if you hear the rustling of pages, I'm looking through my notes because I don't have specific notes on all this, except for a couple of things here and there that I've written out. But the Lord dropped this in my spirit, as a matter of fact, yesterday when I was, well, I'm recording all this the same day, but for yesterday's teaching, what I was going to say is that when I was studying the Word, the Lord dropped in my spirit that He wanted more instruction concerning this for your benefit. So now notice here in Matthew chapter 14, and again, notice the connection between doubt and fear, and notice the connection of the fact that if you have faith, fear won't be present. If you have fear, faith won't be present. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says, not what Dan Rodriguez thinks about it. Okay, I'm reading to you scriptures, and that's what we believe. We believe the Word, not men's ideas. We read the Word, and that's what we believe. Amen. Now, this is the story of Jesus walking on the sea. And you can go ahead and read. Jesus had been praying on the mountain and had sent His disciples ahead of Him, and they were out on the Sea of Galilee, you know, and they were rowing across there. And all of a sudden, a storm rose up, and it was kind of, there was a lot of, it was rough out there. And verse 25, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. This is Matthew 14:26 now. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now that's the first indication of fear. You're troubled. You get anxious. You get worried. And this is where they were at. Now watch what it says. Saying, oh, it's a ghost. Oh, listen to this. The Lord just dropped this in my spirit. You can judge fear and trouble by what people say. Did you get that? You can know where people are troubled and worried by what they're saying. In this case, they screamed out, and it says, they were troubled, saying it's a ghost, and they cried out for what? For fear. Fear causes you to say things that are contrary to God's Word and the promises of God. Here they were thinking it was a boogeyman, a ghost. They didn't know what to think. and they were afraid, and they were troubled, and they were worried, and they were anxious, and they thought they were going to die, and it was terrible. You see, what happens at the moment of fear? People put on their lips the fear instead of putting on their lips the word, and putting on their lips the promises of God, and putting on their lips the sacrifice of Jesus. And I'm telling you, this is an indicator of fear, is when you're speaking the wrong words out of your mouth. What are you saying with your mouth? Now, Jesus had quite a bit to say to that. Ooh, Lord. And this is a big subject. And I could talk about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. But I'm going to stick to what the Lord dropped in my spirit. Except this right now was just dropped in my spirit. So I'm going to have to deal with this at some point. But people don't understand the power of their words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And Jesus said, just go back a couple of chapters to chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, now I didn't say this. Jesus said this. But I say to you that for every idle word, these are non-productive words that are not of God, that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be made right, and by your words you will be condemned or have what is wrong. Now that's what it means to be righteous or justified. It will be made right by your words, and it will be made wrong by your word. Now, again, I didn't write this. Jesus said this. Now, the key to change all of this is in verse 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? See, they couldn't speak good things. Why? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you put in your mouth, and especially what comes out of your mouth at the moment of danger or terror, will be according to what is in abundance in your heart. Now, if you've got the word and the promises of God and the faith of God and the covenant of God in the blood of Jesus, and if you've got the provisions of the sacrifice of Jesus on in abundance in your spirit, when trouble comes, out of your mouth will come what God has said about it, and not what devilish fear and the devil and demons say about it. Now, you see, they couldn't speak good things because they had the wrong thing in abundance in their heart. But you and I can fill our hearts up with the word. We can pray in tongues and charge up our spirits and strengthen us on the insides on our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost and abiding in Him and His Word abiding in us. And when the time comes of trouble, out of our mouth will come God's Word instead of fear. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if that helped you, but that helped me, glory to God. That's a blessing to know that. It is a powerful blessing to know that. Amen. And frankly, I don't think I'd ever taught that like that out of that particular scripture. Maybe you've heard it taught like that. Maybe you've known that. Well, praise God. I just got additional light, and it's a blessing to me. Amen. Now watch, verse 27, Matthew 14. But immediately, now listen to this, immediately. Now say there, wherever you're at, say immediately. Jesus did something immediately to provoke stopping the fear. Are you seeing this? Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, now watch what he says. The very first thing he says, be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Have you ever heard that phrase before? You better know you've heard it before. If you don't know, I'm going to give it to you. I told you, I believe, in yesterday's teaching, but I'm going to say it again. You're going to find that phrase in Joshua chapter 1, where Jesus said, he said, be of good courage. Other translations say be of good cheer, but the Greek is be of good courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, where did Jesus get that? Is that Bible? Yes, it is. Joshua chapter 1. You can we can start with verse 6. I'm not going to read the whole portion. You go check it out. Be strong and of good courage. Then in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then you go down to verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he tells us exactly how to get into this in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. He said, this book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. Hallelujah. But you shall meditate in it. That means you'll muse over it. You'll talk about it. You'll put it on your mouth and your ears and your eyes in it day and night. That means during the day and during the night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Hallelujah. That's how we are courageous and not afraid. We stand on our redemption, and then we fill up our heart and mouth and ears and eyes and being with God's word. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus gave us the instruction here. And then he said, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, hey, you weren't too sure. He still was thinking maybe it's a ghost. Command me to come to you on the water. Well, what was Jesus going to say? No, it's not me. No, he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Now, don't criticize Peter. He did walk on the water to go to Jesus. But now notice how fear creeps back in. Notice this. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Did you get that? He was walking on the water based on that one word Jesus gave him, come. Now, this is powerful, folks, because this tells us that one word has enough from God, has enough power in it to cause us to rise above the problem, the circumstance, the situation, and we can walk on the water and go to Jesus. Now, I'm using that as a illustration, but do you get it? Do you see it? But he started to sink, because that's the very next thing it says, beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. I mean, he hadn't even sunk real good when he started crying. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. I mean, they begin to sink and they start crying. But he physically had Jesus there and he said, Lord, save me. And thank God, there's some times where, you know, you just got to throw yourself on the mercy of God because you haven't been doing things correctly according to the covenant. And the Lord is merciful. But you better not make a habit of that. I'm telling you, you better not. And I could get into some teaching on that, but all you got to do is read the Bible. You better not get into the habit of just, you know, right in the middle of your situation because you're not walking by faith or in the covenant and just scream and yell out, Lord, save me. Because You could be in some dire trouble and some serious situation, and it could even cost you your life. And I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. You know, people don't get it. But in this situation, Jesus was personally there. So when he cried it out, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, now watch what he says to him. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, again, do you see the connection between fear and doubt and being afraid? But notice that Peter became afraid again because he had already been afraid, but that word from Jesus, be of good courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And then when he said, come, that was enough for Peter to step out and, bless God, override the natural and supersede the natural and get into a supernatural walk with the Lord. But watch what caused his downfall. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He got his eyes off the word of the Lord. He got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstance, the wind and the waves, and he became afraid. Now that's when he started to sink, and that's when you'll start to sink, or anybody will start to sink. If you start, get your eyes off the word and start looking at the circumstance instead of continuing your walk with the Lord based on his word. Well, what will that do? It'll shrink your faith. That's what Jesus said. And it will be doubt. And Jesus further said in Mark 11:23, remember, if you doubt, you can't doubt but believe. You can't doubt in your heart. But now I'm going to read to you one more scripture, and this will be enough for today, that we've referred to over and over again. James chapter 1, look at it. Verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. None, zilch, zero, none of it, no doubting. Why? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So now you begin to pick up what it's talking about. Who's he that doubts like a wave of the sea, driven by and tossed by the wind? Notice those two words, driven and tossed. You remember our definition, original definition, both from Merriam-Webster and from Webster's? Well, do you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 from the Amplified Bible? People being tossed around? Huh? Well, that's doubt. Looking at the circumstances instead of keeping your eyes on the word. That's doubt. And then it says, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what must we do? Keep our eyes on the word, keep our eyes on Jesus, which means keep our eyes on what he did for us. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Listen to what the word says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now watch. How do you do that? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, do you see that? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He went to the cross and died. He suffered in our place. He provided marvelous things, and we have to consider that, glory to God, instead of the circumstance, instead of the evil that's in this world, instead of the expectation of disaster, instead of the expectation of terror or lack or poverty or sickness or disease and even death. Do you know that even death has been defeated? Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to die someday physically, but you don't have to go because you've been driven by a spirit of death out of your body. Thank God. But because you go and be with the Lord, just like Paul did, he said to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. You just take leave from your body and go into the presence of God without death driving you out and without death because of some sickness or disease throwing you out of your body. No, thank God. You leave because you and Jesus are done with the thing, and go ahead and bury it because I won't be there for very, you know, you're not there anymore. You're in heaven. Glory to God. For to be absent from the body, the Apostle Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. Amen. We'll come back with some more teaching tomorrow.